All right. Of course, coaches matter. How about coaches matter, don't matter? Coaches don't matter as much as coaching. How about if we knew what was good and what was bad, they'd just put it in a bottle and every team would buy it? How do we explain how yesterday's golden prince is today's dethroned king? I'm Mike Fisher, your trusty and trusted reporter. This is the Fishbowl. That is the star. We'll be back inside the building today. As we brought you yesterday, news-wise, and we want to repeat this now, you can go watch the video on it yesterday, from yesterday. You can also go to cowboyscountry.com and get all caught up on Diggs, who did not practice, but everything's going to be okay, I'm told. Lamb, who did not practice, but everything's going to be okay, I'm told. Jake Ferguson did work. Mozzie Smith was unable to work. So we will monitor all four of those guys over the course of the afternoon. Deron Bland did some stuff on the cords, by the way, but he's not eligible to come back. He's on that four-week IR. So it's good to see him making some progress. The names to watch, we're not going to worry about Lamb. We're not going to worry about Diggs. We'll watch, but I'm pretty confident. I'm told they're fine. But let's keep an eye out for Jake and Mozzie today as we go through practice. The motivation for this morning's classroom barroom is Kellen Moore. What an interesting career Kellen Moore has had. To those of you who say the Joneses only hire old coaches, old retread, actually, a more accurate way of saying it would be they hire established coaches, old retreads, established, or they hire guys from their own tree, homegrown. Dave Campo was young. Jimmy Johnson wasn't old. He was on Jerry's personal tree. Jason Garrett was a young hotshot. And then in terms of coordinators, Kellen Moore, the youngest of them all. And what a hotshot. Kellen Moore, and by the way, I mean this when I say the number of guys who have told me, who've worked with him, in one form of phrasing it or another, who say he is the smartest guy in every room. They mean it, and so I'm telling you, I mean it. Otis LaFleur, Uncle Fish Premium. On this channel, on the Fish Channel, you get a bullsh-free guarantee. You do indeed. Straight dope, no bullsh. And that's why I'm telling you, this argument about who's a good coach and who's a bad coach is barroom. It's not classroom, because you can't do it in a classroom. It's just a big, stupid, silly, drunken brawl of an argument with no answer. And I'm going to use Kellen Moore to prove it. Kellen, brilliant, young, born to be a coach, all of it. He should have gone to Boise State when he had the chance. If he did have the chance, he'd be there for a lifetime. Well, first of all, maybe he doesn't want to be there for a lifetime. And second of all, that's not really how it works. You go to Boise State, where obviously he's a beloved hero, the way he was here for a minute, and have two straight losing seasons. Not even at Boise State will they like Kellen Moore anymore. So we got the Cowboys. They got steamrolled. Then we look at what happened to the Eagles. And from the outside, you could make a case that Coach Nick Sirianni is already going, we lost that game that we shouldn't have lost. At home, we're the better team, we think, against Atlanta. Not that Atlanta doesn't have weaponry, they do. Atlanta probably thinks they're the better team. And we choked it away. Whose fault is it? Misery loves company. And of course, at 1-1, there's misery and company in the NFC East. The Eagles cough up a late lead. Almost inexplicable how that went down for them. Clock management, bad clock management. Oh, have you heard that before? Yeah, in Dallas and every NFL city. A late season collapse. Have you heard that before? Yeah, in Dallas and in Philadelphia, where they were 10-1 last year before they went. So Nick and the organization fires the offensive coordinator, Brian Johnson, replaces him with Mike McCarthy's former sidekick, Kellen Moore, who got ousted here. Fired, ousted. They didn't run him out of town on a rail here, but McCarthy took over the play calling and he was done. So Kellen now is on his third team in 3 years. If this doesn't work this year, assuming Kellen Moore gets hired again next year, he will be on it if this doesn't work. Because if Nick Sirianni doesn't get things done, he'll probably get fired. And they'll clean house, I assume. Kellen Moore, probably telling his wife, honey, we're renting, we're not buying, might be on his fourth team in 4 years next year. The honeymoon in Philadelphia with Kellen, who, of course, when he came there, everybody loved him. Now, there's a lot to love. He's brilliant. You thought he was brilliant, too, and then the game came, and you're like, why did we run the ball three straight times? I thought Kellen Moore was brilliant. Or, why did we throw the ball three straight times? I thought Kellen Moore was brilliant. The Eagles are ahead 18-15, right? They're in the red zone with a minute 46 remaining. Falcons, no timeouts. They need a first down to run out the clock. It's 3rd and 3. They have Saquon Barkley. They could run it on 3rd and 3. They go instead with a pass, a fairly safe pass, and Saquon's wide open. He catches the ball. He can catch the ball and fall down, and the game is won. He dropped the ball. His fault. Eagles kick a field goal, but they leave the Falcons enough time for Kirk Cousins to beat his Monday Night Demons. He drives 70 yards, game-winning touchdown pass, Drake London, 34 seconds remaining. Drake London, by the way, does a machine gun celebration. He will be punished and fined. His coach, Raheem Morris, after the game says, that wasn't a machine gun celebration. He's a good kid. He was probably just pantomiming shooting T-shirts into the stand. Saquon should have caught the ball. Defense should have stopped Atlanta. Door left ajar by Moore, calling what some people are saying is a little bit of a risky pass. Maybe a pass is risky in always stop the clock and all the rest. So Nick Sirianni, after the game, gets asked about it. Did Nick have Kellen's back? Here's Nick's answer, and I quote, Kellen's the offensive coordinator. He makes the calls. Whoa, 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 Nick. Aren't you the offensive-minded head coach? Then somebody says, yeah, but couldn't you have overridden the call and changed it to a run? And Nick says, yeah, I'm the head coach. Oh, boy. Oh, boy. Two games in. And we already have at least the tiniest tip of a potential iceberg crashing into the Eagles. By the way, clock management. This is what I'm saying. Is it you need a coach? Yeah. But more than that, you need coaching. Yes. And how do you know you have it? Only after you win. Nick Sirianni. In his last 7 games, has lost 3 of them despite leading in the final minute. They have lost 3 times in the last 7 games with a lead in the final seconds. And now here comes what can be considered a lack of accountability. Nick saying, I mean, I don't know, is Kellen. The same Kellen who just a minute ago was the crown prince there. Alex points out the Eagles players also did a gun celebration. There was no penalty there. On Friday, we will find out. Friday, the NFL will release its list of here's a fine for this guy's hit. Here's a fine for that guy's socks. Here's a fine for that guy's gun celebration. Neil Witcher, Uncle Fish Premium. Hey, how do I get the circle and the star? Ask the fellas. They'll show you how. Moore's a smart guy. Hurts, bad throw. Barkley didn't bring it in. Coaches call the players. Players make the plays. That's right. But Saquon Barkley's not getting fired. Jalen Hurts, not getting fired. And as Sean D says, I've been telling Eagles fans they'll hate Kellen Moore. They'll end up hating Kellen Moore. I thought it would take 6 weeks, you say. Here's the thing. You'll end up hating Kellen Moore if they don't win. Curtis talking about how the offense is the same, the same, the same, the same. Not really. Not in some devilish details. But I contend this. Everybody's playbook is pretty much the same. Sway B, $5 pitch in into the Super Chat. Fish, Moore is the same genius to put Zeke at center in the... Aha. That's right. Zeke Elliott in a desperation San Francisco game played center. That didn't... I don't know how that was ever going to work. I don't know who thought... By the way, that also... Don't just put that on Kellen. That's on the head coach too. Don Wilson, Uncle Fish Premium. Fish, would you please explain to 72,000 fish heads in Cowboy Nation why you need to hit the like button? Yeah. The like button, when you hit it, it doesn't just give me a hug. It tells YouTube the kind of cowboy programming you want. So if you are a cowboy fan who likes videos of kittens playing the piano, do not hit the like button. If you want real cowboy coverage from inside the star, would you please hit the like button? In fact, would 29 people please hit the like button on a count of three? 3, 2, 1. Neil says, by the way, the boys need to worry about getting a defensive tackle and a running back. They're not going to go spend on that. Their idea of getting a defensive tackle is to go get Carlos Watkins. By the way, one of the fanboy websites says, Cowboys steal Carlos Watkins from Washington. That's not exactly how it worked. We can use the word poach. We can't really use the word steal. And in terms of running back, they're not going to go pay for a running back that you've heard of. They're just not. As Dalvin Cook sits on the practice squad, wondering why. Ramon, $5 pitch in the Super Chat. If Philly fans ran Reed out, Kellen and Sirianni will not be far behind. Andy Reid's a perfect example of what I'm talking about. Andy Reid did almost everything right. Joey says that pass to Saquon is not a bad call. I agree. Until it doesn't work. At which time, Eagles fans and media are saying it's a bad call. I'm not saying it's a bad call. I'm saying when it doesn't work, listen, Ezekiel Elliott playing center wasn't a bad call until it didn't work. It was destined not to work, but that's another story. And it was a desperation situation. Depressed C, $5 pitch in into the Super Chat. Kellen was there for Dak's interception year, Herbert's worst year, and now Hurts throwing a bunch of picks. That's a beard scratcher. Let me do it for you this way. Thank you, Depressed, and thank you, Ramon. Jonathan Trotter, checking in from overseas. I like cats playing the piano. Oh, I forgot. I shouldn't even mention cats. Thank you, by the way, for hitting the like button. That's a good deal for all involved. Chucky Joe, Fish, Moore's main qualification was that Jerry liked him. Yeah, I'll disagree with that, Chucky Joe. His main qualification is that everybody likes him. Everybody likes Kellen Moore. Everybody thinks he's smart. Everybody thinks he's special. I don't think, by the way, that when it comes time to head coach, I don't think he interviews well, frankly. And when I say I don't think, what I really mean is, in one circumstance, I know it for sure. He's just not that kind of personality. He's professorial. Now, then there's the other end of the spectrum where Bill Belichick walks into the Falcons meeting with his chest puffed out, basically indicating all the people he's going to fire as soon as he takes over. That didn't work out either. Maybe somewhere in the middle is good. Here's my best example that I can come up with of how, oh, this coach is special. He's going to change things. And then we find out that the difference between all the great coaches and all the good coaches and all the so-called bad coaches is a sliver, maybe even a bounce of the ball. I know that this is Tom Landry country. So Tom Landry is viewed like he's a wizard at Hogwarts, and I get it. I'm from Minnesota. Bud Grant is my Tom Landry. And by the time that you, especially if you're a local hero, but by the time that you go to Super Bowls, win multiple Super Bowls, become an icon, it's pretty hard to chip away at your greatness. Pretty hard to chip away at your greatness. But here's a lot of goodness. Cowboy defensive coordinators. Okay, let's go back. Let's do a quick study of this. So we go back to 2012. Okay, that's 12 years. Cowboys defensive coordinators in 12 years. Zimmer, Quinn, Nolan, Marinelli, Kiffin, Rob Ryan. Is that right? They've had six defensive coordinators in 12 years? 2012. Wow. And every one of them is, was, has been, will be a stud. Mike Zimmer. He's done it all. He's accomplished it all. By the way, most of these guys are friends of the show. I'm not ripping any of them. Mike Zimmer, 8 days ago, really was great. He's a genius. Drew Brees was getting ready for the Saints game, going, man, that was the toughest coordinator I ever prepared for. The toughest coach I ever had a challenge for, defensive coach. Okay? And then comes Sunday against the Saints. And Drew Brees looks like, you're looking at Drew Brees like, are you a liar? What's wrong with you? Zimmer, by the way, overall record as the Cowboys defensive coordinator, overall, with two stints, 50 and 64. 50 and 64, I thought he was good. He's the second least successful defensive coordinator in Cowboys history. They made the playoffs when he was a coordinator in 2003 and 2006, lost both games. But I thought Coach Zimmer was great. Dan Quinn, he turned this thing around defensively. Made it to the playoffs, bink, bink, bink. Goes to the playoffs, 1-3 record, wonk, wonk. And then, just when the world is anointing him, understandably so in so many ways, his record here, 36-15. Wow. They lay an egg against the Packers, and out come the wild accusations, anywhere from he didn't prepare properly for the game, maybe that's not so wild, that could happen, he was getting ready to take a new job, to he didn't win the game on purpose. That's how, in the eyes of some, the Dan Quinn stock sank, tanked because of that loss. Next, Mike Nolan. Mike Nolan, around here, will be remembered as a clown show. Mike Nolan, early in his career, was a stud. He had it all. Silos, Fish, I'm still trying to figure out the spelling and the meaning of porpoisorial. Now, porpoisorial means you're like a porpoise. That's not a word. Professorial means you're like a professor. So when I'm sorry about that. I need to be like Tom Brady said. Tom Brady the other day said, basically, we need to dumb things down on our broadcast. I don't want to talk above the audience. Oh, pardon me. Professorial means you're like a professor. Avuncular means you're like an uncle. These defensive coordinators, Mike Nolan, go look it up. Mike Nolan, first of all, son of an NFL lifer in Dick Nolan. Handsome, square-jawed, square-shouldered, played. In tribute, was it a tribute to Tom Landry that he used to wear a suit on the sidelines? Or a tribute to his dad, I can't remember. San Francisco 49ers head coach, Atlanta Falcon. Mike Nolan was a stud. He also happened to be one of Mike McCarthy's best friends, which is the big reason he got the job here. Kenneth Easley repeats to you my story. The biggest thing that they did wrong that first year, they tried to implement and install a brand new defense, new philosophy, new lingo, the whole thing, in a COVID time, which means they tried to install a new defense and a new language in Zoom meetings, which, as I said shortly thereafter, when we see it, saw it didn't work, you can't learn Mandarin Chinese on YouTube, on Zoom meetings. 90 guys are not going to learn Mandarin Chinese by sitting in a Zoom meeting. And that's what they tried to do. And the next thing you know, Mike Nolan, now he might have gone to the UFO, Mike Nolan's done. And Mike Nolan, the Mike Nolan's reputation now is sullied because this experience was so poor here. But Mike Nolan is no, Mike Nolan's a defensive genius. Till he wasn't. Rod Marinelli. Rod Marinelli is one of the great defensive minds of all time. Motivator. Talent evaluator, I'll get to that in a minute. Let me do it in another order. Motivator, innovator, evaluator. They make it, the Cowboys do, during his time. He's a defensive coordinator for 6 years. They make it to the playoffs, 3 of the 6. He has a 2-3 record as a coordinator for Dallas, you know, in playoffs. What do you remember Rod Marinelli for? The world remembers him for going over as a head coach of the Detroit Lions. At which point, by the way, in Detroit, they thought and will forever think Rod Marinelli is a bad coach. What was it, 0-14 or 0-16? 0-14. He went 0-14 in Detroit as a head coach, and therefore he's a bad coach. Isn't that a bad coach? Just that it was a bad everything that year. And what's he remembered for here? He urged the team to use a premium draft pick on a player who couldn't play. Before him and kind of meshed with him was Monty Kiffin. Monty Kiffin, one of the greatest defensive coaches of all time. He ends up being the defensive coordinator just for the 1 year. They go 8-8. Hell of a guy. Just passed away, by the way. Hell of a guy. I learned a lot from him. That's a teacher. He's your teacher. But it didn't work. Before him, Rob Ryan. With the van and the hair and the... kind of a big, fun, gruff cartoon character. He's here for 2 years. They go... 16-16, why is here? That's 2011, 2012. He's working under Jason Garrett, right? And Rob Ryan's reputation is pretty solid. There's other defensive coordinators in the league that don't understand why he has a solid reputation. I should throw two more names in here too that you may be unaware of, because all of these names, you guys, I think all these names are ringing a bell, right? Stink. Some of these guys are great coordinators but bad head coaches. Why? The only difference is that when you're the head coach, you also have to be a CEO, in a sense, of the football team. You have to meet with the owner. You have to meet with the general manager. You have to meet with the media. Defensive coordinator doesn't ever have to meet with the general manager. So there is that. But otherwise, why? And I'm saying, because you can't bottle it, there is no why. I'm saying that the way we've decided to do this is, if you win a Super Bowl, you're a good coach. If you lose a Super Bowl, you're not. And that's obviously, when you think about it, that's obviously ridiculous. Let me add two more names here who weren't officially defensive coordinators, but Matt Eberflus was here. He was basically the assistant defensive coordinator. He's now a head coach in the NFL. Arrow up, I guess. Chris Richard was here. You remember Chris Richard? He was going to be, when he was the defensive coordinator in Seattle, he was the next hot thing. He was basically Kellen Moore on defense. He comes here. He works with Marinelli. Marinelli basically announces, I know I have the title of defensive coordinator, but Chris Richard is so important and so good and so gifted, I'm basically making him co-defensive coordinator. And that was the last of that. And Chris Richard, who I've had conversations with over the years now, is now trying to rebuild his career. I think he's the secondary coach. He was going to be a head coach a minute ago. So you can't bottle it. You don't know. And only after the final score do you even get to pretend you know. Kenny Dow, I thought Matt was the linebackers coach. He was the linebackers coach under three different defensive coordinators. That's what a good get-along guy he was. But he was also the right-hand man on defense. He was critically important here. In fact, I think one year they made him the defensive passing game coordinator or something. Brian Stewart was indeed the coordinator before that around here. I don't put him on this list. Brian Stewart, though, I'm Facebook friends with him, if that matters to you. I think Brian Stewart now is coaching in college somewhere. A bunch of questions about Dalvin Cook. And I will close with this because I know it's a popular issue. I'll give you Jerry's position and I'll give you mine. Jerry's position is, what are you talking about? What do you mean, Dalvin Cook? What do we need Dalvin Cook for? Our running backs are fine. That is literally Jerry's stated position. My stated position is, as it appears that Dalvin Cook, it appears at this point, as of Thursday morning, there are not call-up plans. We'll monitor. This offense needs splash plays. This offense needs explosion. If Jake Ferguson isn't playing, they have one guy that gives them that. If Jake Ferguson is playing, they have one and a half guys. I don't think most people think of Jake Ferguson as being explosive. So it's CeeDee Lamb and then 3 yards. CeeDee Lamb can get you explosives, and then everybody else on the roster gets you 3 yards. If the organization's determination, Ronnie Perez, that's a good point. Let me sidebar that. Jerry's out of touch. Ronnie, that's not Jerry. Jerry's not making this decision. You know that. Jerry's on the radio announcing the decision. I want to make sure we get this. Not since forever Has Jerry Jones been the decider on things like this? Not since forever. Jerry will go on the radio and say, Mr. Mike, we got to do something on that L4 on our kickoff team. And then the audience is going, hey, Jerry, you're on the L4 on the kickoff. He just got out of a meeting in which the special teams coordinator said, hey, everybody, we got to work on this L4 on the kickoff team. That's not Jerry. He's just reiterating what he was just told. Jerry is not blocking. Jerry Jones is not blocking Delvin Cook from moving up to the active roster. Jerry is telling you about the decisions that his football people are telling him they are making. So don't blame the messenger. All Jerry is, I know there's the appearance he's the decider. Here he's just the messenger. The organization is deciding, as of Thursday morning, that Dalvin Cook is not good enough to move up. If Dalvin Cook can't make a splash play, by the way, watching him with the Jets, I already said this before they signed him. I watched him with the Jets. He did not look like he was capable anymore of a splash play. If he can't give you a 20-yard run in a measurable way, more than these guys can, more than Ezekiel Elliott can, more than Deuce can, more than Rico can, then what's he doing here? Jay, doesn't have Jerry final say? Jerry, of course he does. Of course he does. So to use my example, yes, Jay, if the special teams, if Bones Fossil said, hey, we're going to make a change on the L4 on the kickoffs, could Jerry say, no, we're not. Absolutely not, Bones. Mr. Bones, he could, but he wouldn't, and he doesn't. Now, when it comes to high-profile money-making decisions, if there's money and marketing in changing the L4 on the kickoff team, then Jerry gets involved. But yeah, these moves, he didn't, you think Jerry decided to sign Carlos Watkins? He doesn't remember who Carlos Watkins is. You think Jerry decided that Phillip's wrist is bothering him? No, he didn't. Jerry's got the ultimate say, but it's a rubber stamp. When Steven says, or McCarthy says, or Will says, hey, we're moving Phillips to IR and we're calling up Carlos Watkins, Jerry just nods his head. Is that clear? Good. When it comes to firing the head coach, Jerry's got more than just a rubber stamp. And when it comes to firing or hiring this head coach, the next head coach, whatever, the issue of the day here, as we're discussing it, is how do you find the guy who's got that thing in a bottle? And the answer is, you don't. Finish. Out.